Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game
on 2FM.
So Sport Ireland have unveiled their 2020 funding plans, which show an increase of 12.5% on last year's levels as the investment package for national governing bodies, high performance sports and local sports partnerships rises from 32 million to 36 million. Una Reardon of the Irish Times joins us to take a closer look at how the money was divided out. High performance, the winners.
Yeah, good evening, Marie. It is. This is kind of the annual sort of payday for the 58 governing bodies of sport. This is outside, obviously, the FAI and the IRFU and the GEA. These are kind of the what we kind of might define as the Olympic sports, essentially. And I suppose in an Olympic year like Tokyo is, it always attracts a lot more interest. And 184 days to go, by the way. It's coming on fast, Tokyo. So it's every time I look at the calendar, it's like, oh my God, it's counting down.
It's fast. 49 days to Cheltenham.
You don't look as excited as him, Ruby.
Is that a horse racing meeting?
Where Ireland will win something.
I mean, I've been kind of following these grants going back to, what is it, maybe going to, God, Sydney 2000. What's that 20 years? And every year, there's a few tweaks, there's a few amendments, there's a few pros and there's a few cons. And but this year, as you say, it's the highest funded team, the highest funding for high performance sports ever. It's about 12% up on last year. It's about 25% up on what we call the Rio Olympic cycle. That's the 4 years up to Rio. So if you're looking at the state of 4 year cycle up to Tokyo, which obviously takes us to this year, it's been 31 million for high performance. That's core funding. Another 8.8 million in the carding. That's the grants for individual athletes. Another 3.4 million for kind of funding projects. And just chatting to Ruby about that. That's just, for example, to get the teams out to Tokyo. So that overall core funding in the Tokyo cycle is about 46.3 million. And just to be very crude about that, okay? We're kind of estimating the medal ambitions to maybe between 4 and 5 medals won. So if you really want to be crude about it, that works out at about just over 10 million per medal. Now, of course, it doesn't quite work out that way, because this is about athletes being prepared, it's about athletes being funded, and it's about representing your country. But certainly there's no doubt that over the years, athletes complained about, oh, we need more funding, we're not being looked after enough, and there's a few athletes slipping through the cracks. But I think if you look at these figures here that have been announced yesterday, I certainly think it's been the best funded team in Irish Olympic history, and I certainly don't think there can be any complaints anymore about funding.
Looking through it, Mark, who are the big names on this list, and who do you think or foresee to be medal candidates that are getting the funding?
Well, it's always a big sort of five or six. I mean, Athletics Ireland are the biggest funded of all. They've had 3.3 million over the Tokyo cycle. Sailing's next, boxing's there, hockey, obviously the women's team qualified. Then you've got Paralympics and Horse Sport Ireland. And I think for the first time, you've had three equestrian teams qualified: the dressage, the three-day eventing, and the show jumping. Yeah, so I mean, that's a first in itself. So certainly medal ambitions there. When you talk about four to five medal hopes. Some people might say this being a little bit generous. Some people might say it's a little bit underambitious. I mean, if you factor in, obviously, Roy McIlroy's committed to Tokyo. He wasn't there in Rio. We have two clear medal chances in the rowing. We've got a gymnastics medalist, and we've also got, maybe you could say, Annalise Murphy's back in sailing. But there's no guarantees in Olympics when you win medals. And I think, you know, if you're looking for a return on that investment, I think it almost puts pressure on the athletes now to deliver medals. But certainly, if you go through, again, we're going through the sports all the way down, sailing, look at that, you know, 3 million over the course of the 4 years. The Olympic Federation are back on board now. This is the former Olympic Council of Ireland as well. And there were some issues there as well about funding, but they've had over 600,000 funding since Rio. So overall, I'd say it's certainly the best package they've ever got. If you look in terms of who's going to be actually competing in Tokyo, right now we have about 45 athletes qualified. There's still hopes that the men's rugby sevens might qualify. There's still an outside chance, I believe, that the women's rugby sevens can get in if Russia get the boot. So it's also going to be one of the biggest teams ever. But if you look at if I was to be critical of it in some way, this would come down to the what we call the old days, we used to call it the grants. It's now called the International Carding Scheme. This is what individual athletes get. I have that list here somewhere in front of me as well. I think it's 116 athletes individually have been funded. This goes down from 40,000 euros, which is known as a podium funding. So there's no other word. These are people who essentially have won medals. So you talk about the Thomas Bars, you're talking about the Jennifer Egan, you're talking about the Kelly Harringtons in boxing. These are the people who have who have been very well funded. And but if you kind of move down from that, there's a lot of athletes who we don't see on the list. For example, I know for a fact in athletics, one of the sports I'd know most, we have Paul Pollock has qualified in the marathon, Stephen Scullin, who qualified in Sunday's marathon. They haven't been funded at all in the Tokyo Olympic cycle. So a few athletes do fall through the cracks, and it's almost as if they're rewarding athletes who have succeeded and who have you know, essentially proven themselves. They're not necessarily ones who need the funding the most. And sometimes athletes who are down there struggling and could do with the funding don't always get it. But look, that's the way the carding scheme has developed. There is an appeal process, and athletes like obviously Stephen Scullin, who I mentioned, who was qualified in the marathon, he will come in now this year. But I still think it's not a perfect system yet. And sometimes you look at that list and you wonder, do those athletes necessarily need the funding that they've got given you know, outside sources such as sponsorship and other commercial interests?
When you look at the path Annalise Murphy took from the last Olympics, she obviously went into round the world sailing, and she's come back in now hoping to compete in the laser again. She doesn't qualify because she wasn't sailing at the time classifications were made.
Yeah, it was certainly a bold move for Annalise. Now, she is getting some sort of group funding from sailing, so she's not completely cut off. But I mean, that's a decision Annalise made, and I was actually talking to her over Christmas there, and she's hoping now to get back on funding this year. She's back in her old boat, and so that's as another example, that was a choice she made. But again, going back to the figures here, and I think, you know, there's obviously a general election campaign being run at the moment, and you have to give the government some credit here. And it goes back to there was a new sports strategy launched, I think it was 2018, and the government committed to a 20% increase in funding for sport, and everyone's kind of like, well, that's all very well. Now, will we see that? In fairness, they've delivered on that. There has been a 26% increase on the carding scheme from last year. So overall, I say it's the most funded team in Irish Olympic history. Now, whether that transfers into medals or not, well, time will tell.
In four Irish boxers will receive the podium level funding, and significantly, three of them are women.
Yeah, good point, Marie. Good point. And
that's significant in Marie's world.
Well, I mean, on a serious note, if you look at 2019 last year, and Of the medals won in what we kind of define as Olympic sports, I think it was 80 medals won. Over half of them were from women, which is kind of a, I think that was certainly a first. And of the athletes who are being funded on the maximum of €40,000 per year, half of those are women. 24 to 12, 12 of them are women. So there's no doubt for all the complaints we made that maybe women's sport doesn't always get the recognition. They've certainly been recognised in the funding here. And you mentioned the three boxers there, but again, go back to Kelly Harrington. She hasn't even qualified for Tokyo yet. There's no guarantee she's even going to be there. She's got to go through a pretty treacherous qualifying campaign in April and May. I think it's in Paris and somewhere else. And plus, boxing is one of those sports where you just don't know whether the judging is going to go their way or not. But certainly, going back to women in sport, the women are exceedingly well represented here. And in the case of delivering on those grants, they're certainly outdoing the men.
Just on that, Ian, you mentioned the different classes. So there's the podium, which is 40,000. There's the world class, 20,000. And international is 12,000. It really bangs home what our athletes go through to make it to Olympic Games. If you can consider that type of funding, some of them aren't lucky enough to have sponsorship. They really are paying their way to get to Olympic Games.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I remember, again, going back to the early days of the grants money, go back to around Sydney 2000, when you had the likes of Sonia O'Sullivan and Katrina McKeown and a few athletes. And I remember back then, like, Sonia O'Sullivan didn't apply for a grant, and she didn't get one because she was making enough money out of the sport. Mm. Sonia was such a superstar that she, I think at the time, if you wanted to get a grant, you had to disclose your earnings. So Sonia didn't want to know what she was making, and that's completely fair enough. Whereas now, there's very few athletes making money out of the sport. I'd say, if you look at this list here, probably none of them. I mean, Thomas Barr, very little bit of commercial interest, but they're absolutely dependent on these grants. And without them, there's no way they'd be able to go to commit full time to an Olympic Games like they are now. But as I say, if you go down the list there, I mean, there's Mark English on €20,000. I mean, he's a qualified medical student. He's putting his career on hold to compete in Tokyo. There's a few others there. Phil Healy again, €12,000. Now, there is other sort of supplement funding, and they're taken to warm weather training camps. So it's not like that's what they got to live off, and there's nothing else. But it is, and I think that's why we need. You're just talking about Premiership football there, and the money in that sport. And you see what these athletes are getting to try and make it to an Olympic cycle. And it's certainly there's no one making money here. That's for sure.
How long has that been the case? How long have these been the brackets for funding? You know, it's The 40, the 20 and the 12,000.
Yeah, that's been there now, certainly since I'd say going certainly before maybe Beijing or before London. So it's been fairly set in stone now. And again, that's a pretty strict criteria. In other words, like if you want to get podium funding, you have to have either won a medal or been very close to a medal before. So there's very strict criteria there. It's not a kind of a make it up per athletes. Again, and that qualifies for all athletes. And again, if you go through the list, I mean, if you look at the sports you've delivered, I mean, rowing have done very well. I think rowing have, looking at it here, six or seven on podium funding, because obviously they've delivered medals. You got Sunita Pierce-Puir in there as well. So the athletes who are on top funding have earned us. And again, Paralympic sport. I mean, if you look at someone like Paralympic sport, Jason Smith, €40,000, Michael McKillop. I think Jason Smith has been on top funding since Beijing 2008. He would be, and that's you know he's been consistently delivering medals. I think he's won, is it 21 or 22 championship gold medals in the Paralympic sport. And again, it's a big commitment for him to make. So to answer your question, I think the athletes who are on podium funding, they've certainly deserved it. My only concern is the athletes who, whether they're injured or whether they're not quite reaching the criteria, and a lot of those drop away or for a whole variety of reasons are just struggling to survive. But look, I suppose that's the nature of any sport.
John Tracy, CEO of Sport Ireland, said that when you look at London, the most successful with six medals, Rio was quite different. I think Tokyo will be a better environment for competing. What does that mean?
Yeah, Rio. Oh my God. Yeah, Rio. You know, funny, we all had such great aspirations or sort of illusions or delusions or whatever about Rio being these fantastic Olympics. But no, Rio, I don't think they ever wanted them, or they were ever ready for them. And there was all sorts of issues in terms of not just the Pat Hickey ticket scandal aside, with terms of transport, facilities. We saw the crowds were down. There was a poor atmosphere a lot of the times as well, Ruby, to be honest. So I think what he's saying is that Tokyo have already been described as the most ready Olympics ever. Tickets are impossible to get unless you know somebody in the... better not say that. But no, they're very difficult to get. So I think that's what John Tracy is saying, that there will be a very... Just going back to the old school Olympics, where there'll be a lot of great atmosphere in all the stadiums, and I think just making it a more exciting environment to compete in. But in terms of the four or five medals, I still think it's a lofty enough target, given the fact that we haven't even mentioned there's going to be a lot of testing conditions in terms of the heat and also the travel, acclimatization. But certainly there could be no complaints whatsoever, I don't think, about the funding.
I think you missed the question, Ian. I think they've got a great chance myself. Anyway, Dean, thanks a million. There'll be lots more in the Olympics between now and next summer. We're going to take a break and the 7 o'clock news.
Game on.
On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.